You're listening to me, Paul Adkins, and the stock is just Jill Sirkin.
Hello.
There was a lot of tweets going on about the funny women in the studio.
Yes.
I'm just catching up with them now.
Yeah. And taking over the show.
Exactly.
Paul Andrews outnumbered.
I know, it's not good.
By us. And also, you know, I said I was swimming on Tankerton Beach.
Yeah, I saw that.
Somebody just sent me SOS Whitstable, who monitor the water, and apparently there's a great big sewage slick on the beach. So I knew I was taking my life in my hands. It's literally every day.
And extreme swimming.
Extreme swimming. Yeah, I've got a little cut on my hand as well. But you know that Southern Water came round offering free water butts. They were giving, it said rescue on them, and my new husband met them dog walking, and he said, "Are you rescuing water butts to stop you, the public, causing all this, you know, problem by the off run when it rains?" So I said to my new husband, "Well, there's nothing to do with all the building. They're building everywhere, huge housing estates. Sewers can't cope." So long story short, they came round. We said we'd have three water butts, two in the back and one in front. And when they came round to measure, we've got quite a large detached house. When we came round to measure, apparently the water butts were too big and therefore not fit for purpose, so we couldn't have them.
Mm.
So the design of water butts is too big for the average detached house.
But anyway, what happens to the water once the water butt's full?
Well, they said that we weren't allowed, we had to have it with a downpipe, we weren't allowed to have it to water the garden. It had to go...
And what do you do with it?
Exactly. And they're going to have, again...
Swim in it.
A hosepipe ban.
They could have a paddling pool.
They're planning a hosepipe ban, so why can't we have one to water our garden? No. So anyway, they don't fit. So they spent all this money buying all these big, big water butts to rescue us, little public people... little paupers, and none of them fit.
Is it the same people that stopped the Eurostar running through Ashford?
Yeah. Probably.
It's always the same, isn't it?
That's where they're keeping the water butts, is in the station.
Storage, of course.
It's always big corporates that haven't got any common sense at all. They've just got a load of stupid procedures. I won't even tell you about UK Power Networks and what they've been up to in the last week or so, blowing up people's houses. But...
blowing up people's houses?
Yeah, my sister's house, they accidentally put a power surge down it and blew up every electrical device in her house, right?
Ouch.
What do you think they're going to do about that?
Oh, God, please don't tell me that they're not going to do anything about it at all.
No, they are.
Okay.
But they're not going to replace anything. They're going to try and repair it all. That's just bonkers.
That is bonkers.
Yeah. So were they in at the time?
Yeah, yeah.
God, how dangerous would that have been? Imagine in the old days, imagine if you'd been on the phone. Do you remember you weren't landlines when they used to be connected? You weren't allowed to be on the phone if it was like thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
I got struck by lightning once on the phone in Clapham in my house. I had a basement kitchen and I was talking to my friend Anne, and suddenly this bolt of lightning came through and the phone went like this, and she actually heard the lightning strike, and here I am alive.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's quite a story.
In them days, you didn't have your yellow weather warning every 5 minutes.
No. You just looked outside the window and went, oh, that looks a bit stormy.
Stay out of direct sunlight, close your curtains, drink lots.
Right, I need to catch up because we've had hundreds of tweets and we're running behind. Kim Stevens,
isn't he? We've taken over.
I know.
Kim Stevens says, good afternoon, happy Tuesday. I'd love a shout out and to give a shout out to all my Care in Kent community carers working in this heat. Working in care is a hugely fulfilling. We make a difference every single day. The job satisfaction is immeasurable. If you want to find out more about them, you can drop on an email at info@careinkent.co.uk. So good afternoon, Kim, and thank you for that.
Well done, Kim.
What have you got?
Just having a look.
You're too far away from the mic.
Just having a look. Did we read Tracy Ferguson? Because she was saying, great to hear more about the lovely sale.
No, go on, go for it.
She says, sorry, I have to go out now, so I will catch up with everything I've missed later. fab Bee Bunker show so far. And Tracy is the owner of Plucky's World. She starts conversations. She supports self-awareness. You can find her on pluckysworld.com. That's P-L-U-C-K-Y, pluckysworld.com.
Yeah, another lovely lady.
Look
who,
her up.
She's absolutely wonderful, yeah. Tracy. She's lovely.
And she was at Skills 3030 as well, wasn't she?
She was, indeed, yep. Beresford, the accountant. Looking forward to today's radio show on the Business Bunker with Vanilla Web and Jules Sirkin. Please could you give a shout out for Dads Unlimited. It's a 5K run for charity, and if you go to eventbrite.co.uk/Beresford, that's B-E-R-E-S-F-O-R-D-S, Beresford's, you can donate a few pennies to that.
And Chandra Sharma is listening in. He says, what a lovely picture of your street dog to Mercedes. Sick, C-I-C. And Chandra is FSB lead rep to the London Borough of Bromley. Mm-hmm. So quite near you.
Yes.
He's the MD of Tangent Office Resources, and you can find him on tangentoffice.com. And he also says, great to hear my dear friend, Babel Monkey, Sarah Marsh Collins. Jules Sirkin, Vanilla Web. Sarah is a lovely individual. Mm. Who
I paid him
a lot for small business.
She's an individual.
And also, it's also great to hear Mercedes, who is equally amazing and knows nothing about cars. We had a lovely meeting yesterday with Zeenat Noorani.
We did.
There you go.
We were all very sweaty together.
Were you?
Yeah.
Was it sweaty there?
Well, it was all right. I mean, we just came in.
Where's that gone? I was just about to read something. It disappeared. Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Vanilla Web. That's me. Our little helper, Jules Sirkin. That's her. Please can you give a shout out to a busy chamber team preparing for our monthly meeting this afternoon. That's Tenterton Chamber. You can follow them on Twitter. Tent Chamber is their Twitter handle.
And a town's only music shop is opening, and it's its own vinyl store. Vinyl's making a huge comeback, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm going to get mine out, which will be the first in the area.
Have you got any vinyl?
I got some, and I've got a really nice record player from years ago, yeah. But one of my boyfriends, Nabil Matter, if you're listening, Nabil, you've got quite a lot of my vinyl, I'd like it back. When I split up with him, he kept all my vinyl.
Which was what, 1968?
It was probably, no, not 1960, it was probably 1981 or something. He was Palestinian.
Just 40 years ago then.
Yeah,
he's bound to be listening now, isn't he?
Hey, by the way, I'm at my bus pass. Aren't I supposed to, didn't you get a bus pass when you turned 65?
Yeah.
I'm at one. How'd you get one?
You have to apply for it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
you have to go like on to Ashford Station. Oh,
it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Just one man.
The thing is,
let him there with the water bug.
My nephew, I was asking my nephew if he can go to school on the bus, right, because his parents drive him. His bus fare is £14 a day. That's ridiculous.
That's mental.
Yeah, he's in Somerset.
Various members of my family thought it was hilarious that I needed a bus pass, so they all applied for me.
Oh, they applied for you.
Which is why I got a
don't
bus pass.
Don't scoff at free travel.
We don't have any buses where I live.
Oh, right.
You cannot get a bus.
You've got
where
to drive
I live.
To get a bus.
Yeah. And the nearest bus is 15 miles away. Intune PR, the lovely Darren Wheel. He says, I wonder if there's any food that's found its way into the studio today with the guests.
Well,
he says, there's always a handy biscuit supply. Yeah, we've got biscuits. Don't you worry,
we've got
mate.
Nice biscuits.
Garibaldi.
Yeah, because sometimes they get a bit ropey, the biscuits, but they're not too bad.
I tell you what, in a non-creepy way, I am actually going past Darren's house tomorrow.
Are you?
So I can drop him off a bourbon.
Yeah, do. Throw one at him.
Yeah, he always
boy,
brings
Ike.
In.
I'm actually seeing him tomorrow morning. I could.
He's just
sorry, Darren.
You can throw it at him hard as well. He's just tweeted this. Realising Paul is utterly outnumbered by witty women on today's Business Bunker show, it was nice knowing him. And he's a lovely gif of me drowning. Thank you, Darren.
Well, Darren, usually when he hails in, he always brings produce from the local little...
Yeah, Laura's Larder, usually, isn't it? Yeah, lovely stuff. I've not actually made it in, but occasionally he bequeaths me stuff as well. I've always been very grateful.
Very tasty.
Yum.
Did I read about this? The town's only music shop. I did, didn't I? I think
you did. did, yeah.
You interrupted me, actually.
Yeah, Ginger Pixels has tweeted, we've got some exciting news. Ginger Pixels is a finalist in the Canterbury Business Awards for Creative Digital and Innovation. I shall be hosting that later in the year.
Ah, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And Chandra says he's no longer, sorry, Jules, we are no longer Tangent. We are Elmcroft Business Services. First rule, change in your bio. Don't you agree, Babel Monkey?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. But it's easy enough done. I still have it on Facebook that I still live in Axmont Store or something. So
okay. He said he's going to change his profile immediately. So that's good.
Beresfords have been back on, and they say thanks for Nilla Webb for the shout out on Business Bunker for our 5K run for Dads United Limited. Dads Unlimited. It's a Twitter handle, DADSUNLTD. Give them a follow and find out how to donate to their 5K run. Please, that's an order. Do it.
A town's only music shop.
You just read that?
No, because you interrupted me. I only read the first bit.
I'll start, so I'll finish.
I took a pause. Poor co-owner, Rob Sherwood, is dying to tell us about it. So he says, Elephant
Do you know
Music,
about a vinyl shop that's opening?
Elephant Music, Paul Andrews, in Gravesend,
right,
is hoping to make it more accessible for people to get into music by diversifying their stock to create a mini Camden Lock. Co-owner Rob Sherwood said, we really just wanted to do something a little bit different and bring in a different crowd too. Vinyl is coming back in a big way, so we are trying to incorporate that into the business. I was looking at going to Latitude. They've got a really good lineup, Latitude Festival. But at my age, I kind of think with all the crowds, can you get to the toilet and stuff? You know, it's a big worry at my age.
I'll tell you about that when
however much you drink.
I'll tell you about that when we're off air.
All right.
Right.
If you drink enough, you probably don't care.
I've got a shiwi.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. What, you've got a shiwi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got one. Blue, mine.
Purple.
Oh. They're great. In fact, I've got two.
You blew yours. You're doing it wrong.
I've got one in my little beach bag, ready for all occasions, and then one for travel.
I've actually bought myself like a little port-a-loo because I've bought a tent and I'm going to be camping with my dogs and stuff. And I don't want to have to keep running off for a wee and leaving the dogs in the tent. So
have you got a little tent over it?
Yeah.
Paul looks like right now a boy who's been invited to a sleepover.
Yeah. And then
thought
wish he said no.
It would be tiny pyjamas and pillow cases, and we're actually talking about
They are brilliant, and I think they really came into their own in lockdown when the councils decided, while everybody was walking 17 miles a day because they were bored out of their bonces, to close all the toilets, which I never really understood.
Yeah, and put the cleaners on furlough, presumably.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all sitting outside my house.
Right, I want to talk to Mercedes.
Looking for a water butt.
I want to talk to Mercedes before this show comes to an end, before we've covered everything.
Before it comes to a sticky end.
It's very first time.
Woo!
Mercedes Yearly, Quest Soul Theatre. Mercedes, thank you for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you
it's
so much
an absolute
for having
pleasure.
Me.
I first met you when you supported us a few weeks ago on some of our school's careers programme, which I'm eternally grateful for.
It was
for bringing your expertise of a different kind of business. Yeah. So I'm fascinated by you and your story. So give us a bit of background to you. I know you've got a big backstory. So let's hear it.
Oh gosh, here we go.
I've always lived in the same house since I was two. I've never been anywhere else.
I've just got to say, I've never seen the mute button in all my 16 years used for eating a biscuit. But Sarah is munching a biscuit and she's using her mute button. I mean,
she's a professional.
That's
a
etiquette, isn't it?
She's a professional.
Etiquette,
she's
that
a
is
professional.
Yeah.
And a noisy eater.
Yeah, probably. Carry on, Mercedes.
I was born in Somerset. I grew up in Somerset.
Somerset. Exactly. The accent kicked straight in there, didn't it?
Somerset.
Yeah.
So my family are actually all Londoners.
Right.
But my father was posted. No, he got a job back outside. So I grew up there. And I was very lucky. I went to a school, amazing school in Frome in Somerset. Frome is like, it's amazing.
Trendy.
It's a trendy place. And I had a very amazing drama teacher and drama department. So it really, I was a drama girl. That's what I did. And I was in every show, did everything.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Were you a drama queen before, sorry, no.
Drama queen is very different. I'm actually quite a plastic person,
right, yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm a drama
That was naughty.
No, that was sorry. Naughty. Placid, you know what? Lovely, bubbly, loquacious.
I mean, like, in a, I avoid confrontation kind of placid.
Oh, okay.
Like drama queen.
Yeah.
You know, no. Sell tea girl, like that, you know.
But a question I wanted to ask you, you mentioned an inspiration from a drama teacher.
Yeah.
Were you into drama before meeting the teacher, or do you think the teacher inspired you to think about drama as something that you wanted to do?
No, I think I came out of the womb with a recorder and attachments on or whatever.
I was painful.
Yeah.
For her mother.
No, I was a natural performer,
right.
And I...
lots of wins, then.
My drama teacher was very...
During the
pregnancy.
I'll tell you
what... I'm rather musical.
I'm trying to tell this inspirational story.
No, just a recorder coming out of the womb. I said lots of wind during the pregnancy.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, just a
prayer of Jack.
No, sorry.
So I had a really inspirational drama teacher who did, like, the shows were so amazing, he took it to a next level. It wasn't like a school show. We did, we would go travelling around Europe,
right.
We were in competitions, we had sell-out audiences for our shows. It wasn't just like, oh, we've got to go. I mean, these were amazing shows he did. So he pushed, he showed how far you could go.
What was his name?
His name was Mike Walker. He lives in South Africa now, so he's probably not listening to this show.
You can send him the link.
I could send him the link.
And you can also nominate him on Greatest Hits on Simon Mayo's afternoon show.
Oh, the top teacher. Top teacher, yeah.
Definitely.
So he showed me, like, and I went to university and I studied, I went to Salford and I did media and performance. So it was a mixture, and wasn't just acting. It was TV acting, it was script writing, it was all different stuff, which was great because it gave me a real, in fact, I was at university with Jason Manford, name drop.
Mm-hmm.
He probably won't remember me, but anyway, it doesn't matter. I sort of could wave at him.
Joseph, you're listening. Tweet us, mate.
He's Wizard of Oz, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, moving on. So I did that, and then I felt a bit lost at university, actually, because when you're in a small town and you do drama, you're like the big fish, and then you go to uni and everyone's the big fish from the little pond, and so you're suddenly a tiny fish in the sea, and I got really lost. And then I decided I was going to do teaching. I applied, you know, earlier on my third year. And then I did these amazing projects.
To teach drama.
I thought, right, well, I'll go and be a drama teacher. Because everyone was like, oh, you're going to try and be famous. And I was like, no, I'm not good enough. But I didn't have any confidence. But I ended up getting a first. And I was one of the few people in my year that got a first. Because I did... It blew my mind. But, yeah. And then I was like, everyone was like, well, why aren't you... you know, being an actress or whatever, and I was like, oh, it's too late, I'm being a teacher. And I was like, I'm going to change the world. And then I went into teaching, and I did not change the world. I cried.
But children have that effect.
Yeah. But seriously as well, in terms of creative arts, a bit like sport, a lot of people aspire to act or play sport.
Yeah.
But the pinnacle of those, you know, the people that are successful are such a tiny minority of all the people that go into it. I know actors that have been actors for their whole lives, and they actually spent more of their life working in coffee shops than they ever did, you know, performing. Even though they got parts, every now and again they get a part in something, but it's a very precarious profession
really, really about being in the right place at the right time, and it's also about knowing the right people. There's a lot of nepotism, and actually, mental health comes into my story. I'm quite a fragile person, and I just couldn't, I don't think I could have dealt with the no.
Rejection.
Because there's people saying you'll get a million no's before you. I'm just I'm just really fragile. I knew that about myself. I went into teaching, and there are some amazing children out there. Please don't get me wrong. But out of all those amazing children, there was one scary 16-year-old lad, you know, I'm too soft. And I think teaching now, unfortunately, teachers really have such a hard job.
Yes.
They really do. And the classrooms are getting bigger.
And the behaviour maybe.
And the behaviour, and because you can't...
there's nothing that they can do to control them these days, is there?
And I would just stand there. I mean, I remember once being a cover teacher, which is the worst thing. So shout out to anyone who does cover teaching. Zeenat does cover teaching.
Yeah.
I love you, and I will pray for you. but I went into this thing, and this boy ran in with started throwing a chair, so I had to take the class out. They were crying, I was crying, I was asking for help, and they were like, sorry, that isn't the worst thing that's happening in this school at the minute. I was just like, and I phoned my agency, I was like, I'd like to come home now. You know? Anyway, so I did that, and I realised I was a good teacher, but it wasn't for me. And I saw a job in Singapore. And it was teaching drama.
Yeah, the people are much sweeter and kinder.
Oh, more do you know what though?
I want to learn.
Yeah. Singaporeans are amazing. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Anyway, so I went there, and my boyfriend, who's now my husband, followed me. And
what's his name?
Oh, his name's Dom. He's probably not listening. Dom. He's a very busy man.
Mm. But do you listen on catch up?
Yeah, he better do. He better do.
Why are you having your dinner?
I'm going to ask him to sort of do a dance for me, and if he doesn't do it, I know he hasn't listened.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he came with me, and I was teaching over there, drama, English with drama, and then we got married, and we had a family, and you
in
know...
In Singapore?
Yeah, we got married in Singapore, and you know, my son started off not much like Sarah, you know, but he was born in Singapore, and he was born on double digit, 7th of the 7th, so they were like, oh, lucky baby, you know, like this, and we were like, we moved to Canada, we moved to France, we were in France for 7 years.
Still, you were teaching?
Yeah, I was teaching at this school with this mad Irish lady called Tonya, shout out to Tonya, who's retired now, but she made her husband build a theatre in the top of her house. But anyway, I always struggled with mental health, especially after my kids. I really struggled, like postnatal depression. Mm. And when you're overseas, getting help is as much about culture as it is about availability, because there's something about sense of humour and language that is very specific, even to an area in England. And I never felt like when I had therapy, especially talking therapy, I was never really supported. So I just took all the drugs. Woohoo! Look at me! I'm not okay! But, you know. And so anyway, COVID hit, and I lost my mum. So it really sent me spiraling, because my mum was like my rock. Mm. And I said, right, that's it, I'm going home. So that's how I ended up back in England. Which led me on, I then had a very, very bad mental health crisis when we came back. Because I think I was just so overwhelmed. Mm.
And how old were your children?
It wasn't that long ago. It was like, I want to say, a year and a half ago.
So your son was?
My son was 12 and my daughter was 10.
Okay.
No, that's how old they are now. So take away a year.
Yeah.
11 and 9.
Yeah,
right, okay.
We got there in the end. Oh my God. Don't come to me for math. So that was tough for them. They moved. They were crying because we lived in France, you know, but I couldn't be there anymore. I didn't fit in. There were lovely people. The French were so lovely, but I was really lost and I was really struggling. And we came back to England, and like, I really did. And the first thing I did was join an Amdram group, which was Theatre 62, which is 2 minutes walk from my house. And even though I was struggling, I would go up there and be like, I'm in a role, you know. And it was like, that was my therapy without kind of realising it.
I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to go, don't be an idiot, Paul. But I've often talked about this. A lot of actors are very introverted people. And the reason they come out of their shell is because they're being somebody else.
Yes, comedians.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. That's why it... For me, it worked for me. That's why talking therapy, other people need different ways in. And anyway, so I was really struggling, and I ended up in a crisis group, and I was in hospital, and yeah, you know, all horrible stuff. Because I rang up for help and they said it's a 9 month waiting list. I said, right, that's fine, I'll just sit on the top of my house for 9 months, slowly falling. Yeah. And I was like, this is nuts. When you have a crisis, you go to hospital, and then everything opens up. And I was at this, I went to group therapy, and I said, oh, I'm really struggling, and I would be wearing like just the same clothes I'd worn. And then I go, but I'm doing a show at the Churchill. And they're like, but how can you be this depressed all day and then do the show? And I said, I don't know, but it works for me.
Mm.
And then there were people sat in there, other adults, and they were going, I used to sing, I used to dance. And they said, but I don't, where can I do it now? Because, or if I do a show, it's too much for me. And suddenly I sat there in the group and I went, oh, I've got a really good idea. I said, I'm going to do drama lessons for adults. And that's just how it started.
Right, okay.
And so, I mean, I'm really new. I'm officially January this year.
Right.
So, basically, which leads on to where I am now, I started Quest Soul Theatre because I wanted my name... It's about a journey. It's about process rather than performance. It's about feeding your soul, you know. We don't put on performances. I don't ever force people, and I run regular workshops and custom workshops. And it's all about, I want to aim mainly for adults, although I'm open to working with anybody.
Right.
But it's giving adults the chance to be creative, to be silly, to have fun, to create something that actually, it's like food for the soul.
Mm.
And giving them a space to actually be silly again and help them.
And I'm assuming that people respond to that because there's no pressure to it.
Oh, yeah.
They've not got to, you know, they've not got to prepare themselves for a public performance.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely
just playing with
that. Yeah, absolutely. And what I've started to do is do some training in art therapy. I'm not a therapist. There are people out there that are specifically drama therapists, and it's really amazing how it works. So for an idea is, you do a scene, let's say... Sarah's doing the scene where she had an argument with her dad and it stayed with you your whole life.
Mm.
You tell us the story and then we act it out and you see us acting it,
right,
and then we change it. And then, so it's really interesting that people process by seeing it rather than going to a talk therapist and talking it, or an art therapist ask you to draw it. And it's much more, there are people that need that tangible kinesthetic learning of touching, of feeling, of seeing. And I won't mention any names. I have a lovely, lovely friend who comes to the group. She's not an actress. I don't think she's ever acted. And she came with me from my group. And she comes every week. And she's not an actress at all. But you see her... like her confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, you know, she comes in and she goes, all right, everybody, you know. And then we always have a cup of tea at the end and we all sit around and have a gas, because that's important as well. Talking about getting humans back, you know. And I had one lady come, because I'm on social prescribing for Bromley Borough, which is great. So I sometimes have people, instead of tablet, they say, why don't you, if you're lonely, if you're depressed, try one of these groups, which is a great,
Really absolutely. Good
thing forward, right? Mm. And I had this lady come. She was 96.
Wow.
She got on the bus. She came talking like your mum, Jules. She just got on the bus. And I just saw this little face come at the window. Hello. You know, and she couldn't hear a thing. Hearing aids. I said, if you've got them, she goes, I haven't even got them on, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. And then when we had a cup of tea, she came to life and she just told us her life story. Mm. And then we never seen her again.
Right.
She just came one time. Oh. Told us her life story. But that sometimes that's, it's just making the time to listen. Mm. And it's, yeah. So it's been a journey, and one thing has led into another. And I have to say, like, my whole life felt like a loser, because I haven't done.
Oh.
You know, we were talking about how, you know, people have jobs and they. I had so many jobs and I've left them and I've gone, I couldn't cope. And my husband is very linear. He's been working his way up, like he's super duper boss man, right?
Mm.
And I thought, that's what success looks like. Do you know what I mean? Like what traditionally it looks like.
Yeah, this is one of the problems with. A Western society and Western education is we have a one-size-fits-all approach to everything.
Yeah.
And there's very, very fixed views about what constitutes success. And I've also, just to look at the other side of it, and social media is a great thing at this, I quite often get attacked
Right.
I mean, you know, verbally attacked by people I've never met or never spoken to on social media who read my bio and decide it means something. Yeah.
Yes.
They read my bio and they decide how I vote, what my politics are, what I believe in, without ever having spoken to me, and then they will attack me for it without me having said anything.
Yeah.
But coming back to your situation, though, Mercedes, where you say you felt like a loser, the problem is you're not a loser, and people aren't, you know, people aren't losing. It's one of my big things about talking to kids in schools. I'm absolutely adamant that every human being has talents.
Oh, yeah.
Every human being has talents, and one of the problems is our systems of being, be they academic or, you know, traditional jobs, has one way and one way only of being recorded in society as a success, and it's just nonsense. It isn't true, but everybody still plays the game as if it is, and then you then find that a lot of people feel a bit like you. They disillusioned with life because they don't fit neatly into one of these slots that says, you know.
I mean, I thought, oh, I've reached 40, right, that's it, I'll go sit in a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I refuse.
Yeah.
And everything I've done in my whole life, I couldn't have done what I'm doing at any other time before. And it feels like I'm at the right place at the right time. And every little job I've ever done, where, you know, every interaction. I mean, at one point, I was a social media star. Thank you. Twitter took me for dinner. I like to drop that. If James is listening, he's going to go. My friend James, he keeps joking. But I did all of that, and I was doing that, and I burnt out, though. It's honestly, it's the most empty. Being a content creator, it's like the most empty, soulless thing you can do. That's a whole radio show on its own. I could talk about that, but like I've done things, you know, I've done loads of things, and it's led me to this point, and I feel like, and I'm getting loads of projects in and work from people, and it's like the first time I've come up with a mad idea, which I do regularly, I come up with a mad idea that works. I'm just literally in meetings this morning with people. We're going to do projects about where the wild things are to try and bring people into open spaces.
Wild things are.
Yeah,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
amazing.
I've already been...
The children's book.
Yeah, Max,
I read it to my kids. Yeah,
Max goes to bed in his wolf suit, and I'm already Googling adult-sized wolf suits. I'm like...
Yeah, you need to be careful of that.
But, you know, like, it's like I'm... You know, it's like if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Like, I would do this for free. Obviously, I can't. But it's like I found this little niche for myself, what I'm doing, and I love it, and I love helping people. And now I'm only small. It's just me, and I've only just started. But even, like, the girl I was talking about earlier, the fact that I'm helping her and being there for her, that's enough,
yeah.
You know?
It is a brilliant that you've described. We don't always notice change as it unfolds around us, yeah, because you get kind of in this maelstrom of change that just feels really weird, but change is happening. If you take the long view, if you step back and you know, if you put yourself 20 years in the future and look back, you go, oh, I could see that unfolding in the way that it did. We're developing a different way of being, yeah. As you yourself said, you know, in previous generations, people left school, got a job, worked at it for 50 years and died, yeah, and that's what they did, yeah. We died younger, now, you know, people have phases of life where they'll get into later life, into their 50s and maybe 60s, and completely reinvent themselves, do something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, they retire from a life and start a whole new thing.
Yeah, because people are living so much longer. I think middle age now is not 30, 40, it's 50, 60. Mm. That's middle age.
70.
70.
Well, looking at my mum in Ibiza.
I know. Yeah. I mean, but and also...
Straddling a motorbike at 93.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
Amazing. And I mean, as well, I think, I think a lot of people have this. Having lost my mum was like a catalyst. Mm. And so I started this business, and actually my sister, who's really ill, I'm just going to give her a shout out because I know she's listening, has started her own pottery business. Mm. She did it grief, like, artistic, again, an art therapy, and she's the most amazing potter. She's got MS, but she gets down in her studio, fiddling around with her cats, making these amazing things, you know, and that is a therapy. That's really important. We have to help people at the bottom end, yeah? Just feel alive and creative and all those kind of things to stop this massive plug at the top.
It's interesting how long it's taken to unfold. Back in the 1970s, a guy called Professor Charles Handy wrote a book where he predicted what he called the portfolio career, yeah? Which is where you just do stuff. Yeah. You don't have a job, you do stuff, lots of stuff over here, over there. That's a little bit how Sarah's been. It's very much how I am. It's very much what you're doing, where you do lots of different things, and each one of them are fairly different to the other things you do, but they all make you feel better, and you can earn a little bit of money here, and a little bit of money there, and a little bit of money there, and when you put it all together, you kind of scrape a living. Yeah. And that very much is the future. A lot of people are going to work in that way, you know, because a standard job isn't, you know, you might even do a standard job to supplement your income. So you might work as a barista or something like that, you know, to make sure that you can pay the mortgage or whatever. But doing all those different things is a brilliant way to be.
I always thought it was crazy that at 13, when you took your options, you were supposed to understand what you wanted to do for the rest of your life. And everybody kept saying to me, don't worry about it, you'll work it out when you're 16. You'll work it out when you're 18. 25, I'm still going like, what am I doing?
The human brain doesn't fully form until 26, 27. Yeah. You're not, biologically, an adult, until then. And actually, looking back on what an idiot I was in my early 20s, I can totally get that.
It's not only that, there's something in the brain as well that your psychology doesn't fully anticipate fear and danger until I think you hit about 22, 23, something like that.
My new husband, he's 51 and he still takes such risks, ridiculous, on his paddleboard. He goes off to, you know, miles, honestly, and back.
Snake Island.
Snake Island, exactly.
Mercedes, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you
so much for that. If people want to find out more about Quest Soul Theatre and all the things you do, what's the best way to do that?
Just very quickly, the CIC is a community interest company, which it's not a business, it's a charity, it's in between. So I can earn money.
It's a social business.
Business. So just to, but I like the way that Jules has called it Quest Sick, because it sounds like a street. It's sick, man.
It could be psych, couldn't it?
Kick. I've got a website, questsoultheatre.co.uk, which I regularly update. It's not the best website in the world, but it's mine. You can find me on all the social medias, and it's mainly at Quest Soul Theatre or Twitter, because Quest CIC. But I'm if you just type in Quest Soul Theatre, I'm the only one, so you can find me. And I'm on LinkedIn, Mercedes Yearly, and I'd love to just connect with people. And if I can help in any way, that's what I want to do.
All the contract details for both Mercedes and Sarah are on the Kent Business Radio website, and they'll be there forever. This is show number 634, and you will find it there. Mercedes, thank you so much for that.
We
haven't got much time left, and I've got loads of things that I need to cover. So there's a free microchip in Pets Day. This is from Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services. Cats and Dogs, Saturday the 17th of June. That's my grandson's birthday. He's five.
Oh, will he be five?
Yeah, happy birthday for Saturday the 17th for June Bear. He's in France. Free microchip in Pets Day, Cats and Dogs, Saturday the 17th of June, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at St. Augustine's Church, Rock Avenue, Gillingham. A microchip is a small chip around the size of a grain of rice. The process only takes some 5 seconds and is harmless to your pet. Bring your cat in a suitable carrier. That's AK Pet Services, and you can find out more about what Adrian does at AK Pet Services by going to his website, which is akpetservice.co.uk.
He often is seen with a parrot, isn't he?
Samson the parrot.
I was just going to ask, what's your sister's name? I don't think you mentioned her.
Hermione.
Hermione.
Yeah.
Lovely. And does she sell her pots?
Not yet. Having MS, everything's at a slower speed. But she's getting there. Now, she's going to tell me off for this, but I think she's going to call it Totty Potty.
I love it.
We call her Lady Potty. She lives in Bath. So she's going to set up a studio. They're having a little bit of a setback at the minute, and I know she's very ill, but yeah. But it's amazing what comes out. You know, she's very creative as well, and she does it all day, so it's amazing. Mm. But yeah, Totty Potty. So when she gets her business open, I
let
would share it, because she's
let
amazing.
Yeah, because my sister-in-law lives down that way, so we could always go and look at her pot.
Yes! Look at your pot.
There's a classic There's a classic cars at Kenwood. Classic cars, campers, bikes, and scooters are all welcome. First Sunday of each month, 10 a.m. till 12 midday. £5 per vehicle. Pre-book. This includes tea and coffee by calling 01622 814 187. Bacon rolls or a veggie roll available. Next event is the 2nd of July. All details, kentbusinessradio.co.uk, calendar. I'm keeping some homeopathy under my tongue, which is why I'm speaking like this.
A summer celebration with a Caribbean twist. Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce are delighted to be holding our 2023 summer soiree in the Walled Garden at River. A truly spectacular place in which to network. Please come dressed as Caribbean as you like. Jack Sparrow, why not? Yeah. June the 22nd, 6 to 8pm, the ticket price includes delicious canapes and bowls, a Caribbean rum punch, welcome drink and rum sampling with music by the Shireen Francis Small Island Trio.
Should be jerk chicken,
shouldn't there? Yeah. Well, it probably is.
Yeah.
kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find out more and book your ticket.
And there's a meeting of breakfast at Base Point with the Marsh Network. It's at 7:40 a.m. on Tuesday the 13th of June.
That's this morning.
Oh, well, there'll be another one, I'm sure, so I'm going to give you the website. It's marshnetwork.co.uk. There'll be a full English, as discussed with Mercedes, off air. Vegetarian and vegan options are also available. And so you can contact Terry Botfield or on the Twitter at TDBotty, B-O-T-T-Y.
Fantastic.
Totty Botty.
Totty Botty.
The Rebel School, we've got to hurry out because we've not got much time. We've got loads of stuff to cover. The Rebel School has got another free business support course coming up for Kent, and I wanted to make sure that everybody in the community knows about it. The Practical Inspiring Action Focus course runs online from the 10th to the 21st of July and helps people to start and grow businesses in a straightforward way and without getting into any debt. You can find more information and sign up by going to therebelschool.com/Kent. It's a fantastic program. Henry Nicholson, who runs it, has been a guest on this show many times. It's a very practical, very straightforward and very robust how to start a business without wasting money or spending a fortune. It's really worthwhile. Online.
And Chandra Sharma says he's now changed his bio, Jules Serkin, and thank you for the reminder as I tap it.
Elmcroft Business Services.
That's I get all my branded workwear for me.
Networking, face-to-face, build valuable business relationships, enjoying a walk and talk.
Networking.
Yeah, networking. It'll take around 1 hour. There's a lunch provided by Thackeray Williams, the solicitors. Meet outside the restaurant, which is at Knoll Park, or Cannoli, as I call it, K-N-O-L-E, 30th of June at 10:30 in the morning.
Have you finished scoffing whatever you're scoffing?
No, it's not. It's homeopathy. Yeah, it's gone now. It's right. Dissolved under my tongue.
Okay.
Why, do I still sound odd?
Yeah.
Really? That's this. Tunbridge Wells, please join us on June the 15th for Third Thursdays. You try to say that. With
Third Thursday. I couldn't possibly say Third Thursday.
Third Thursday. Tunbridge Wells, the meeting is sponsored by TN Accountancy on June the 15th. When's that?
June the 15th?
Day after tomorrow.
Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, day after mañana.
Yeah.
10:30 to 12. And also a coffee morning at Kenwood. Which is cakes and savouries available. Do you like a savoury, don't you?
Yes.
The next one is Thursday the 29th of June, 10:30 to 3pm, No need to book, they say. Just turn up. And it's Kenwood Trust in Yalding. H for Hazza.
Hazza. H for Hazza.
Prince Hazza.
Right.
You'll go.
Western Wednesday. We hope you can join us on the June the 14th, that's tomorrow, manana, for our next meeting for the Western Focus Businesses at Squerry's Winery. Tracy Taylor will be talking about her new company, Tailored Financial Therapy. That's tomorrow, June the 14th, 30 till 12. If you want to find out more or book your ticket, Ken Business Radio, UK/calendar.
Maidstone have welcomed the Southeast Angels Startup Roadshow. This is a roadshow that's happening. It's at the Maidstone.
No, it
business.
Happened.
Oh, is it old?
No, that's telling you that it happened.
Okay, so they welcomed Kent-based entrepreneurs this week for a Dragon's Den-style event. Who writes these press releases? Where they bid for funding from business angels. And the roadshow provided a platform for startups to showcase their ideas and network with local investors and entrepreneurs across Maidstone and wider Kent. Pitch for business angels mentoring and investment funding. Who else? So it was founded, the Southeast Angels, in 2020, backed by local entrepreneurs and investors, with the objective of increasing investment activity in the local area. You can go to www.businessmaidstone.co.uk/thebusinessterrace. And Christina Perekate, very unusual name there, Perekate, Perekate, Managing Director of Southeast Angels, said, as the business capital of Kent, we're very keen to host an event in Maidstone, and the business terrace was the perfect location. There you go, well done. So again, go to businessinmaidstone.co.uk/businessterrace.
Kent Creative Culture in Kent. We're calling all artists, designers and makers in Kent and invite them to submit their work to the designers and makers market. Now this is taking place at the Turner Contemporary in Margate on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of December 2023. The reason that it's a long way off is, of course, you've got to submit it, get it approved, and then get it there. So it's giving you lots of notice. Our aim is to provide a platform for Kent-based designers and makers to showcase their work, offering the chance to sell directly to new and existing customers. The event is now in its sixth year. It's taking place in one of the county's most significant cultural venues, and we're excited to offer this opportunity to be part of it. If you want to find out more, go to cultureinkent.org/events. cultureinkent.org/events/designers and makers.
And this is interesting. So surely they're saying brave entrepreneurs that would open a new pub at a time the licensed trade is under increasing financial pressure, with many businesses being forced to close. But this is just what Jim Cleaver and Charlotte Hogpen have done this week with the launch of The Coach, which is Twixt Sandwich and Deal. They bought the former Coach and Horses in the village of Hacklinge, which has been closed for a year. They've invested £1 million in buying and completely renovating and refurbishing the property to create a bright, modern but cosy, welcoming new venue. The couple are no novices to the trade, already run the 81 Beach Street restaurant in Deal and the Granville Inn at Lower Hardress in Canterbury and the Coast Guard at St Mary's Bay. Very busy people, these people. Jim Cleaver and Charlotte Hogpen.
Bye Bye Baby are to open the Leeds Castle concert. Bye Bye Baby, a jaw-dropping tribute to the musical phenomenon Jersey Boys, sharing the timeless, iconic music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, are announced at the opening act for this year's Leeds Castle concert on the 8th of July. Since Jersey Boys appeared on Broadway in the West End, the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is as popular as it was in their heyday in the 60s. Bye Bye Baby have prepared a show to remember with incredible four-part harmonies, roof-raising falsetto,
energetic and stylish choreography, all backed by their excellent four-piece band. Their performance includes a selection of Valley's greatest hits, including Sherry, December 63, Grease, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, Working My Way Back to You, and many, many more. So do join us at the Leeds Castle concert. You can take a picnic or you can be seated. It's happening on the 8th of July, and you can go to leedscastleconcert.co.uk to find out all about it.
I always think that's the Bay City Rollers when you say bye bye, baby.
Yeah.
But I loved Frankie Valli. Our guest, Mercedes, is now wearing as a moustache.
Moustache.
My lemon verbena.
I have to find costume in all that I do.
My lemon verbena.
I have to say, it suits you, Mercedes.
Yeah. Well, I spent last week dressed as an egg, so.
For any particular reason, or just because you enjoy it?
It's eccentric.
I was Humpty Dumpty and Shrek.
Well, that was a good yoke, that was. Yeah.
A cracking one, in fact.
Oh, absolutely.
We're scrambling fast to the end of the show now.
Exhausted with all these jokes.
Right, have you got anything?
Brain's going to be fried.
Have you got anything more to read?
Only long things, really.
Well, we've got 3 minutes.
I can double one, if you like. So Bournes have been crowned 2023 Domestic Mover of the Year for outstanding
Bournes of Rye.
Commitment and leadership in the UK removals market. The prestigious competition run by the British Association of Removers. Who knew there was a British Association of Removers, Sarah? Yeah. They recognise the UK's best removal companies. Yeah, you, out. based on overall customer experience. Bournes explained how it came about. They said the judging process included a thorough assessment of our website and quote documentation. The knowledge and the professionalism of staff and our commitment to customer service through our customer feedback and satisfaction ratings. The whole team at Bournes feels privileged to be recognised by the British Association of Removers, otherwise known as BAR, for our commitment to providing the highest level of service to our customers. The judges commend all on entrance as the standard of entry across the board was extremely high. So well done, Bournes.
Yeah, well done, Bournes. They didn't have somebody go in and actually sort of give them marks out of 10 for everything they were moving when they moved to the house.
Everything they were moving. All the crockery.
Top moving, yeah.
Well, I will be helping my son Shay move soon, won't I?
Yeah, yeah, you're excited about this, aren't you?
Penthouse. There's a list.
We're all coming to the moving in party.
Little penthouse,
We've reached the end of another show.
Oh, I want to say by the dogs trust.
I want to say a huge thank you to our two fantastic guests, Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey, Mercedes Yearly. So thank you so much.
Wearing a lemon.
Thank you very much.
My stunkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Sirkin. We'll be back with another show next week. Thank you to everybody that tweeted and emailed. Do have a fantastic week, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.